Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
I was flipping through the channels the other day, but there was nothing good on. I had nothing to play. So I went to my computer and realized that there was so much content before my eyes. But there's nothing but Netflix in my heart and on my screen. There's always something good that I still haven't seen. But maybe one day we can try to watch the rest.
Yeah, that's right. We are back. Nothing But Netflix is talking about the season two premiere of Netflix's Cheer. And here I am back with a man who brings you cheer every week. It's Chappelle. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm cheerful and I'm here.
Yes.
Just like the show. Yeah. So we're back. Let's do it. Let's talk about it.
Cheer, the hit Netflix season show, is back for another season. And Chappelle, I'm excited to talk about Cheer with you.
Yeah, you are. Are you cheerful? Are you ready? Are you pumped?
I'm as cheery as ever.
This podcast could use a cheerleader. Like, maybe that's what we should do with Sam. We should just bring Sam in to do some Matt talking while we are doing the podcast. You know, kind of like hype us up in the background.
Yeah. Is Sam more the person you want as your cheerleader?
No, maybe not. Because I feel like Sam, while he does have enthusiasm, he would be like, you know, like, go Rob, but also Rob, you kind of forgot this one thing, or like, go Chappelle, but you know, you might want to look out for this. Like, Sam, we need like reckless abandon in our cheering and not, you know, so much cautious optimism, I guess, is what Sam would be giving us. So, Sam would be okay, but I'm pretty sure there are probably more cheerful individuals.
He definitely has a role on the coaching staff.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like, if Monica is the coach of the cheer squad, then Sam is like her right hand man. Similar to you. You're the Monica of this podcast, and then Sam would be Capenna or whatever her sidekick's name is.
Yeah, yeah. Like 40 people for 20 spots. That sounds about right. Yeah, I feel like that's like relatable.
Yeah, yeah. You have to look at Monica's life and say, yeah. I can see that. I can see that. Having a bunch of talent, not enough space to put them all in, and having to fit them in the right pieces in the right spots at the right time, or it just doesn't work, or you don't get the maximum, you know, entertainment out of them. And so, yeah, Rob, this could be very much the podcast television show that we were looking for.
Yeah. Well, Chappelle, we've had a busy week here on Nothing But Netflix. It was only a week ago that Mari Forth joined us. We talked about the Singles Inferno. Then on Wednesday, we got together with Kirsten McInnes and we talked about two episodes of Too Hot to Handle. So we got all of our dating stuff out of the way. Of course, you can listen to those episodes. And now here we are talking about no dating here in Cheer.
Yes, we went from smart hotties on an island to hot dummies on an island. And now we are in Corsicana, Texas to talk about cheerleading and the competitive sport that is cheerleading and all the drama that surrounds this particular team at Navarro Community College.
Yeah. And I have to say, I was a little bit on the fence when you said, okay, we're going to talk about cheer. I said, I didn't know anything about the show coming in. I was like, I don't think that this is going to be for me, but I thought this was really compelling. I really enjoyed the format of it. And like, I just watched the first episode, but I easily could see, you know, it just being a thing that you have on and absorbing the whole season.
Oh, yeah. I misspoke. I think it's Navarro College. But regardless, I understand what you're talking about.
Navarro, like Dave Navarro.
I'm from Texas. So I've heard it both ways. And so, on the show, they will say Navarro, but down the street from my house, we will say Navarro. But regardless, I think that, Yeah, like from somebody who maybe is not like into competitive cheerleading or doesn't like absorb a lot of that content, it's like, why would I watch this? You know, what's the point? But then if you look at it as like, this is very much a show about athletes at in college and their role to like the championship for season one, that's what kind of caught a lot of people's attention. Like some people naturally know that, you know, there's a lot of work and precision that goes into competitive cheerleading. It's a big deal for these kids, but to kind of put the spotlight on these characters and their personal growth and their journeys throughout while highlighting this amazing coach that they have, it does make very compelling TV. Now, that's season one, the road to Daytona and the championship. Season two, episode one, is where you jumped in. And now we have other things to talk about. We have to talk about the aftermath of the championship, the new upcoming rival that isn't really new, but is now getting some light shine on it, shown on them. And also how these cheerleaders are going to deal with the level of fame and prestige that has come from their national championship, but as well as their notoriety from Netflix.
Yeah. So a lot of interesting stuff and themes going on in Cheer season two. Chappelle, I would love to get your backstory here. Now, I know that you were very involved with the band. Do you have any sort of background in Cheer?
No, I don't have any background in Cheer. I'm not like I can't tumble. So it's not really my thing. I'm also like I'm a very happy person, but I can't just turn it on for like all the time. Like I would be a very grumpy person if I was a cheerleader. I would just be the angriest cheerleader alive. But I did have something of a connection to this particular show just because one, like I work in college. So like Navarro is a school that I've worked closely with before. And so I was like, oh yeah, that's of course, Scanner. I know where that's at. But also one of my family members actually was a member of like the back 20 of the cheer squad back in the day. She ended up actually going to OU to be a cheerleader instead for a while. And now she's like an actor and amazing. And I think she's cheering for like the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sorry, the Dallas Mavericks, like, expansion team or, you know, their little, what is it? What's that? The smaller team? I don't know what it's called. The junior team of the Mavericks.
Okay. The junior Mavericks. Yes.
Yeah. The junior Mavericks. Yeah. She's cheering for them. And she's going to be so mad if I mess this up. I did mess it up. I don't care. But she's doing big things in cheer. But she definitely told me like, oh, yeah, I was there. I've met Monica. So it made me more interested in watching the show. But as far as cheering in my life, it's not really a thing that I grew up with. But yeah, as far as marching band, I could see the same type of effort and things that go into being a part of the black show style matching band that I was in college that goes into this show. So yeah, for me, it wasn't that much of a stretch to watch it. Rob, think of it like Hard Knocks, you know?
Yeah.
But for like cheer, you know?
Now does Navarro College, do they actually have athletic teams that this unit that Monica coaches cheers for? Because it seems like that the cheer department has superseded any sort of athletics going on at the college that the cheer squad would be cheering for.
Yeah, so Navarro is a junior college, and so they're a part of the National Junior College Athletic Association, so the NJCAA, but they compete in like Southwest Junior College Conference, right? So they play against other junior colleges, so smaller schools that you wouldn't see normally televised, like for football, basketball, baseball, soccer, that kind of stuff. I think they've won a few championships in various sports, but the cheerleading team since 2000 has been run by Monica Aldama, and Monica has basically made the cheerleaders the premier athletes on campus. And so while there are sports at Navarro, I really think that those other sports teams could be cheering for the cheerleaders instead.
Yeah.
Because these are your premier athletes.
And Chappelle, this isn't really part of the show, but from what I got from watching the premiere of season two of Cheer, it seems like that the top two schools in the country for cheer are Navarro and their rival down the road, Trinity Valley Community College. Now, Is that just the worldview of cheer, or are these actually the top two schools that people go to for doing cheer?
So I think the thing is that like the National Cheerleading Association has different divisions, and there is a junior college division as well as like grand national things that goes on. And I think in the junior college division, these are definitely your two premier squads. Mm-hmm. I think Trinity Valley had a reputation for being a really good team for a while. And then you would, like, you would try out for Trinity Valley, you wouldn't make it there, and then you'd go to Navarro, try out and make it. But since Monica has figured out her formula for success, she has been able to whip the team into, you know, a formidable opponent and actually the best team in that division. Now, do I know much about teams in the other divisions or where Trinity Valley stacks up against some of the bigger schools? Not really. Yeah. But cheerleading at this level is, like, this is the highest level of cheerleading you're going to get. Like, these are college students, but there's no, like, professional competitive cheer team that's outside of these all-star groups. For when you graduate from college, you know, like if you're in the into college football and you graduate as a college football player, your hopes is to go to the NFL. You know, for these people, this is it. Like, mm-hmm. this is me at my highest performance level that you're going to get. I can do all-star stuff on the side, but I will never compete on a level like this for championships again. And so this is kind of like their Super Bowl in a way.
Yeah. Is I watch some of the series premiere from season one, and they talk about that, about basically, you know, like, even if you say, like, oh, I'm going to go and cheer for the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, like, that's not what this is. Those are dancers.
Yeah, they're dancers, models a lot of times, and they can stand there and they look pretty. They're smiling. They hype up the team, but they are not doing the tumbling passes and the stunts that these cheerleaders are doing. These are gymnasts on a mat, you know, with pom-poms.
What about the NBA? They have, like, the people that come in, like, during, like, a timeout and do something.
Like the power dancers. Yeah. But those, again, those are dancers who can flip. Mm-hmm. These are gymnasts who are gymnasts. These are gymnasts, you know. They just bring, like, that extra spunk that cheer, you know, provides that gymnastics often doesn't, because gymnastics can be very, very, very serious outwardly in a way that cheerleading is never. It is intense and it is serious inwardly, but outwardly they are projecting happiness and pep. And these people are all that. They are pep and intensity.
So the show explores the cheer squad that is put together by Monica. And you mentioned that Monica has, like, the secret formula, that Monica came in and changed the game. What is Monica doing differently that other coaches weren't doing?
Well, one thing that they point out in this first episode is that while Monica is a great cheerleading coach, the thing that sets her apart from a Trinity Valley is that Trinity Valley has a clause somewhere in their, like, cheerleading contract that they don't allow all-star teams to perform, people who are members of all-star teams to be on their cheerleading squad, because all-star teams take a lot of time away from the actual squad that you're on. So it's not like, you got, like, your LeBron James and he's in the NBA and we expect him to play all these games. But LeBron is like, yeah, but on the side, I play pickup games every Saturday, or I'm in, like, a junior league. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, we can't have you doing that, because one, you should be practicing with us. But two, what if you get hurt? What if something happens and you're not able to compete with us? So now we have to change everything because our LeBron James is down. And I think it's the same thing with Trinity Valley. They were like, well, you cannot split your time and attention and your energy and your health with them and still be a part of this team. So they isolate a level of, like, a big, huge group of athletes, honestly, that are just dying to cheer, who have nothing else better to do than cheer. Like, that is their life. And they're saying, no, we can't do that with you because you are not as committed to this as you are to cheering in general. And so Monica is not like that. Monica is definitely like, if you're on an all-star team and you want to be on this team, that's fine, but you got to make it work. And if you get hurt on that all-star team, I'm still expecting you to show up here for a cheer practice. And then I will decide if you cannot compete. Mm-hmm. And it sounds harsh.
Like Bruce Arians.
Yeah. And listen, it sounds harsh, but I think from her perspective, a lot of these students are at, first of all, this is a college. So you go to this school. This is a part of your curriculum or a part of your scholarship. So she is paying you to do this. And so it's like, if you're on scholarship and you want to keep that money in this spot on this team, you have to do what she says. And so, yeah, if you want a side hustle, that's fine, but you better be at practice the next day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is Trinity Valley a community college? Are they featured in season one?
They're in the background. They're definitely in the background. They're kind of like
Cobra Kai. As a t-
Yes, they're like they're more like Cobra Kai in this season. So in the first season, they're just like, oh, this is Trinity Valley down the street. Look at how Monica has managed to usurp them and become the new supreme of cheerleading.
Right.
And they're like, you know, like they speak about her as if she's a rival. Like, oh, yeah, our thing is that we cannot let that school get too far ahead of us. But for season two, it's like, oh, no, this is not even really the story of Navarro College anymore. This is like the villain origin story of Vontae. Right. And Trinity Coach Vontae.
Yeah, because yeah. Chappelle, is this a hot take to say that I think I'm more in on Trinity Valley Community College than I am on Navarro?
I don't think so. I think with the first episode, they really put you in a position where like these people are at top,
underdogs
at the top. Yeah, and now you got this underdog that is just waiting in the wings, right? They're trying their best. They're honing their skills. They're not going to sell out to the Ellen. Allure of Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Ellen and all these other things.
They're high on the hog and it's influencers JJ on Cameo.
Right. They're doing influencers. They're doing likes and engagements, and they're on TikTok and the hype house. And he's like, no, we want serious athletes who come here to cheer. We're all about business. And you're like, yes, Vontae, that's the energy we like. I don't think that's out of the ordinary. I think we like to see competition, but we also like a good underdog story. And in episode one, they definitely tell that.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll see, because I feel like that, you know, Trinity Valley Community College, I mean, they're allowing the cameras in to be like getting the cheer treatment over there. And they're like their players are like doing the, you know, they're buying in and giving the interviews and everything. And so I feel like that this is a very interesting way to sort of set this up.
Yeah. I mean, if you're from Trinity Valley's perspective, yes, this is a show to highlight one of your big rivals. Regionally and in cheer, but I think like it doesn't hurt you to be a part of that, right? Because like Trinity Valley is a smaller school that a lot of people wouldn't know about if it wasn't for the publicity they're getting from being a part of Monica's story over at Navarro. So it's like, yeah, for season one, yeah, sure, Monica's hyped up because she should be, but you know, like if you are just somebody who's looking to get the competitive cheer and maybe you were considering Trinity Valley, now you know, like, oh, there's a viable option that's not Navarro, right? And so season one, they kind of just established themselves as another option. But season two, it's like, yeah, film us because we're coming for that spot. And the story will be amazing if we get it. Like, could you imagine this like Hollywood-esque team that is so glitz and glamour, that's lost sight of their way because they're all like about their influencing and their money and their commercials and all this other stuff. And now you got Trinity Valley is all about the grind, comes up and takes the top spot. Like that sets you up for a hell of a season three and, you know, a new villain in town. Like that's the kind of stuff that stories are made out of. So I agree that Trinity Valley is the one to watch here.
No, Chappelle, season three has to be about another school that's down the road that's like the third biggest competitor that they aren't like all with stars in their eyes and being interviewed by Today's Show in Australia. And then they're going to be the ones to watch in season three.
Probably not. But I'm thinking, listen, there's not that many schools that are in the running like that in this area. Maybe across the country, you know, you have somebody who's like trying to capture that fame and drag it away from Texas. But I think, yeah, season three could definitely be the story of like if Trinity Valley gets the top spot. Now, how does Navarro like change their ways, right? Like how does Monica like snatch the Instagrams out of everybody's hands and like, no, put that down. We got it. We have to practice. We have to be back on our game because we slipped up. We got sloppy. We got complacent. And now we're number two. So I don't know. This cheer story, if it works out the way you and I just wrote it, that's good TV.
Yeah.
Good TV.
I just think it's so fascinating to see the contrast in styles between Monica and Coach Vontae.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Well, I just feel like that, I look at everything in terms of like these coaches and I put them in perspective of like the NFL coaches. And I feel like that Monica seems like she's coming across more like a player's coach. Like she's tough. But is not like a real disciplinarian. And then Coach Vontae, I mean, we see that at the end of the episode, makes the cheer team run suicides in the gym, which I didn't even know that you could, you would do that to a cheer team, of make them run laps for basically, and not even laps, suicides for getting the routine wrong.
Yeah.
Like think, a Joe Judge.
I think Monica's thing is that, yeah, she is a player's coach. But I don't think we can, like, maybe in season two, they kind of like show that side of Vontae a little bit more of like the, you know, the being the harder coach. But I think for Monica in season one, if you talk to the kids are the ones telling you the story about mm-hmm. who Monica is. They're the ones who, oh, I got hurt at my all-star practice. Oh, gosh, I don't want to tell Monica. And they're like, why won't you tell Monica? She's like, she's going to cuss me out. We never see her cuss mm-hmm. anybody out, but you know, the energy is there,
yeah.
You know, and so she's got
it's like, not like dance moms.
Right. Like, she's not Abby Lee. Like, she's not yelling at them and calling them fat or anything like that from across the room. But she's definitely got the energy of like, you don't want to trifle with her. And so, yeah, I think she's taking a good approach at dealing with these cheerleaders, because these are 18, 19, 20 year old. These are adolescents, you know? And so she is very much making a family for them. And I think Vontae might be doing the same thing. It's just his story is more compelling told from like the grizzled coach from down the street. Because I think Monica very much has that energy as well.
Do the people on the team call her Monica? Cause I feel like I'm calling Monica and coach Vontae. Is that the names that they want to be called?
I don't know if Coach Vontae ever like says, call me Coach Vontae, but Monica is Monica. They call her Monica throughout. Sometimes they call her just Coach, but I've never heard anybody say Coach Monica. As a matter of fact, she's very personable with the kids. A lot of them look at her as family. Some of them like say she's almost like a real mom to them. Because the thing with junior college and community college kids is a lot of them aren't that well off when it comes to like their background and their upbringing as far as their finances. So like some of them come from backgrounds that are less than, I guess, shiny. You know, they got the like a tough past, and some of them look to cheer as their new families. And so, yeah, they call Monica Monica because they're that comfortable with her. One kid was like, I'll take a bullet for her, you know, and I don't think they were joking. I think it's really one of those situations where you feel like this person is really invested in you as a person, not just in cheer, but in your life. And we hear a lot of those stories throughout season one, and I'd be shocked if we didn't hear more of those out during season two.
Let's go through what we saw here in the premiere episode. Now, the show is going to open with the saga of one of the stars of season one, who made a lot of news, Jerry Harris, who was arrested and was part of like the national story about child pornography. And there was a whole issue with minors. That is a whole ugly thing that we don't need to get into. But it was such a big controversy. The show, like, they led with this in season two.
Yeah, this is tough because, well, Rob, I'll ask you this. This was your first like full episode of Cheer for the most part. What did you think about Jerry, just based off of like scandal aside? What was your opinion of how the show talked about him?
Well, it's hard because, you know, you hear the stories of what you know, he was accused of doing. But then it's like, OK, well, they kind of get out in front and, tell you about it, and then, you know, show like the news coverage of it. But then this season is flashing back to January 2020 and he's there. And he's around all of the time, and so it's not like they really cut around him in season two of the show. It's not like that they, you know, tried to make him disappear.
Yeah. So the thing with Jerry is that in season one, Jerry is like America's sweetheart in a way. Like, I cannot stress how much he is a lovable character in the show.
I mean,
like,
you saw him with Oprah, with Ellen, with Joe Biden. It was like everybody loved him.
It is the fall from grace here is just insane. Jerry's story arc throughout the first season was that Jerry doesn't come from like a supportive family that exists him, and so he's always looked at his cheer family as his family. He's like the cheer super fan. Like he keeps up with all the competitive cheer across the country. He can tell you who the next rising star is, all this other stuff. And then Jerry is not like athletically, he was not on the same level as some of the other like people who do the tumbling and stuff like that for to make the mat. He's a yeller. He is yelling to hype everybody up, because he did not make the 20 people who make the mat. He wasn't in that squad. And so you see Jerry's like, you're rooting for Jerry because he's so nice. He's so lovable on the show. And you see kind of like his journey to make the mat. And we see like where they're trying stunts and stunts aren't working with certain people. And they bring in Jerry for just a little bit to motivate other people to do better. And they take him out because he's just not as good as them, or they can't use him in other areas. And so Jerry has a story arc of, by the finale of season one, there's this one stunt that they're doing, Rob, that Jerry has been screwing up, and it's the day of the performance and he is screwing it up the day of, like in practice as they're doing the run throughs, and he's messing it up. And the crazy thing about the finale of season one is they don't let the Netflix cameras into the Daytona competition at all. They tell them y'all can't come in. So everything that we have for the finale of season one is basically cell phone footage and like footage captured from other sources throughout the competition. So you might get like an aerial view of the competition from this side, or like a cell phone view from the bottom, like a selfie cam. And it's really cool the way it puts it there. But you're watching that knowing that Jerry just screwed up this lift thing, you know, this stunt. And you're like, oh my gosh, he's going to get it during the competition. And I know for me, my eyes were glued to him. I was like, oh my gosh, is he going to drop this girl? You know, is that going to happen? Or at this finale, we 8 episodes in or 6 episodes in, I guess. Like, yeah. It was so much drama behind it. And then he nailed it. And so everybody's like, Jerry! Like, it was like the moment we all been waiting for. The show ends, and then like later on we get these news reports and everybody's just stunned. And so for the show to start off and lead off with the Jerry thing, I honestly think they have to take him out completely. And I think it's really hard because they'd already filmed so much of it. So you start off with the Jerry stuff. Even from a television standpoint, it's probably not bad to just go ahead and foreshadow that you got some drama coming. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of people who might not have even seen Cheer, once they got that national attention from the Jerry scandal, they might be tuning in just to be nosy. And so, yeah, they basically hold that carrot out in front of you at episode one and say, the Jerry stuff is bad, but we'll get back to that later. And then they go back to talking about cheerleading. And so, yeah, I didn't watch episode 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. And so I don't know when the Jerry stuff happens, but it's coming and it's ominous. And yeah, whew, it's going to be dark.
Yeah. And just to be clear, so the Jerry stuff in September of 2020, that's when these charges come to light. He's charged with federal child pornography sex charges that as of this time, that I believe he is still awaiting his trial. He has pleaded not guilty. That's where it stands right now.
Yeah. And like I said, I don't know the details of the case, but what I do know is that the show has to talk about it. And if they have to talk about it, it's not going to be fun to discuss that, especially with somebody who was held in such high regard as Jerry from season one.
Right. And they do have an episode later on in the season that does focus in more on this as we go. The timing of this is the whole season is interesting because it looks like the first season of Cheer comes out January of 2020. That's when season one comes out. And when we are here watching what's happening, it is January of 2020. So it seems like that we are sort of like in the instant aftermath of Cheer season one. It's not like a year has gone by and everybody blew up. It seems like that this has only just like become a hit like 2 or 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit like it. I think it depends on what clip they're showing. So I think for some of them, yeah, like it's been like it's some of this stuff is like the next day, you know, but I think there's a small time lapse because there's time for the show to blow up, for them to go on their whole media tour, all that good stuff. So it's kind of like it's that window between when they found out about what happened with Jerry and, you know, when they initially won. So it's kind of like that gray area. So I don't think they know about this in the first episode.
No, definitely not. I'm just saying, like, that I'm going back to the timing of when the show became a hit
and how
they became stars. Because the other thing that, you know, we're going to have this ticking clock where everything is going to start to happen with COVID here by the time we hit March. So this is a tight window of time that we are at right now between when the first season of Cheer drops, and we're following these people in the instant aftermath of that, leading up until when we're going to have, you know, we're going to see where the coronavirus really starts to take hold and how that's going to impact what's going on with them.
Yeah, that's a good shout, because I didn't even realize in episode one that there were no masks.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, for this to be a documentary or docuseries style show, I expect you should see at least one mask. And if, you know, if this is in, you know, previous day. And so, yeah, I think you're right. I think this is definitely that, like, tight spot between, you know, when the world gets shut down. And honestly, I don't know. Like, now I'm kind of eager to get to that point, because I don't know how you adjust to something like that in something like competitive cheer, where being in proximity of each other is very important. And so, yeah, I think that is probably something to track if you're watching the show through season two. And if there is a season three, I'd be interested to know how they're going to do that as well.
I also wonder, and then just looking at the dates that they give us on the screen, where we cut to April 9th, 2021. I don't know if the 2020 NCAA cheer championships are going to be canceled and 2021 is going to be when they actually have this face off.
Yeah, I have no clue. I do not know if COVID comes and ruins everything that the National Cheerleading Association has going on.
COVID, like, ruins the NCAA tournament, basically. Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, how can you have a cheerleading competition in the middle of all of that, at the peak of what people, the peak of, I guess, misinformation and stuff like that for COVID? Like, COVID is still here. It's very real. It's happening right now. It's always happening. Right. Like, everybody's got it. But what I'm saying is, like, at the beginning, it was like, there's no vaccine. We don't know how close you can be to somebody. We don't know where you can go. We don't know what you can do. We don't know how to get tests. Like, it was so much of that. And so there's no way I think they avoid all of that. I mean, colleges were shutting down across the country,
right?
Just closing them, sending the kids home and saying, all right, end of the semester. And so, yeah, that's got to happen to these people at some point.
And there was no sports from the time that things shut down in March until what, like June? I think the NBA came back, what, July, when they started doing stuff, even though it's outside. There was just like no sort of, especially like with like college or, you know, younger people, that they're just were not these activities. So I wouldn't be surprised if the whole let me do a quick Google search before we get dragged up like you idiots. NCAA 2020 tournament. Let's see. I see NCAA 2020 canceled. On Sunday, Varsity Spirit announced the decision to cancel all scheduled events for at least the next 8 weeks of the 2020 competition season. This includes the NCAA and NDA Collegiate Cheer and Dance National Championship, which was scheduled for April 8th to April 12th.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's coming. And you know, the episode starts with, like, there's a countdown. They're like 57 days away from the big performance. And you're like, oh, okay, 57 days. But now that you've called it out, I'm like, do they ever make it to the performance? I guess you have to finish season two to find out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. One of the interesting themes, I thought, and you touched on this, is how does the cast of people over the cast of Cheer, a.k.a. the team from Navarro, handle becoming famous overnight? And this is something that, you know, for 20 some odd years has always been interesting to see. As people become famous from reality TV, how does it change them? Well, what they're about.
Rob, well, why don't you speak from your own experience? How did it change you?
How did it change me? So you'd probably have to ask other people who were around me. I like to think it didn't change me very much, but I think that fame from reality TV, like I feel like personally, and, you know, opening myself up here, that, you know, I feel like that what happened to me, like, I never really felt like, oh, Now I'm famous. Like people, some people like Survivor fans know who I am, but it was not like, you know, maybe there was like, you know, 15, 20 times, you know, you're walking somewhere and somebody said, are you so-and-so? Whereas I feel like that in modern times, with like social media, I think you really like, feel it where that the people that are blowing up on Cheer are now just sort of like being inundated with people reaching out to them and being viral. You know what I'm saying? Like I feel like it's different.
Yeah. It's like you can touch your fame now. Like, you know, like Rob, you were famous, mm-hmm. you know, reality TV famous at the time. Like Rob, I've known who you were since I was 13 years old. Like yeah. That's crazy, right? But like these people are able to look at their phone and see that this person has known me since they were 13 years old. Like they know me right now. Like, and they're getting engagement from them. Like, so imagine if 13-year-old Chappelle was like clicking like on all your stuff. Mm-hmm. And then like, you know, 20 years later, I'm like, hey, Rob, you want to talk on a podcast? You know, like that's the kind of fame that they have right in front of themselves right now. Like they can see it. They wake up in the morning and reminded of their fame every day when they get likes, when they get clicks, when they get engagements, when they get endorsements. And so, yeah, I can imagine that this is going to change their lives so much. Because like I said earlier, a lot of them come from backgrounds that aren't very well off. They don't come from a lot of money and their families had to sacrifice. Or some of them are like didn't grow up with their families. We'll see the stories of Ladarius and even Jerry and Lexi, where it's like, oh, they don't come from glitz and glamour. So this is a big departure from who they are. And I can imagine that it's going to start to take a toll on them because everybody's not able to deal with the things that come with, you know, fame, like as we talked about in the Hype House, you know? And so This is probably the dream for this age group of people, you know, to be TikTok famous, to be Instagram famous, and they're living it. And to go from people who probably look at cheerleading, you know, people kind of look at cheerleading as like the people who cheer on the athletes. But these people know that they are the athletes as well. And I think now they're getting their recognition that they deserve for being athletic, but they're also getting the other recognition for just being famous.
Yeah. I think that for the people that like really like are motivated by winning, I think that those are the people that are going to stay focused. But I think that you'll see like a divide between the people that are not necessarily like about the winning, the people that are about the trappings that it ends up being. And you see this in sports all the time, you know, that, you know, people come into the game and then, you know, sort of like get sort of like blinded by like all the things that come along with being in a sport, as opposed to the people that like really it's very important to them to succeed and ultimately to try to win.
Yeah. And they're planting that seed for us in episode one, because there are moments where like they're practicing and then Monica's like, all right, team meeting. OK, everybody gather around. Jerry, Ladarius and all the other stars and I, we're going to go do a photo shoot right now. But y'all get back to work. We'll be back tomorrow with our other superstar, who is a star from season one. And then you all can be a part of that as well. And you even see the background cheerleaders, the ones who weren't highlighted, kind of like giving side eye and kind of looking like, well, I guess we'll just be here to win. We're not here to, you know, do Buick commercials, but here we are.
Well, I thought that was so interesting about the people who are not necessarily featured on the show. And I love when like we get to explore this, like the other people that, you know, go to the bar that the How I Met Your Mother cast hangs out in, or the other kids that go to Bayside High School, or the just people that are not in the focus. And they're like talking about how annoying it is. I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, we'll just like be here to, you know, help out all the famous people.
Yeah. I can relate to that feeling. Just because I know how it feels to like, feel like you're really good at something and you should be doing it and you should be getting the recognition that you think you should get. And then to watch people like treat you like, oh yeah, you're just like a side character, or you're like the background characters in somebody's story. And so like that caught my attention instantly. Like the moment they interview like those three people who remain nameless because, you know, they don't matter. They interviewed them and they're like, yeah, we came here because this is a college and we wanted to cheer and be the best cheer team. But I guess you can talk to all of our friends about how great they are. And I think it must suck too to also feel like I am as good as these people, right? I too am an athletic specimen who can do the things, who won the championship. I was there, but you just didn't put the camera on me. So like, while I can do, maybe I can do the stunts that Jerry can't do, but you want to talk to Jerry because he was the star of season one. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine how that envy would just creep into you and just kind of like eat away at you a little bit. You know, a cool storyline would be if those people like jump ship and went to Trinity Valley or something, mm-hmm. you yeah. know, and like and, started like
and
the
brought
misfits.
The playbook. Yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, we've seen this movie before. Mm-hmm. You know, like the background characters bring the playbook and they know all the secret routines. Yeah, that would be good TV. But you can see that kind of brewing as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of those people's name was Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Ryan okay. is one of the backup
justice for
answers.
Ryan. Yeah. Justice for Ryan. And like I said, I sympathize with them because like I know that's gotta suck.
You know, Chappelle, they tell us as they're going back and forth between the rivalry between Navarro and Trinity Valley Community College is that, you know, when you're from Texas, all you want to do is win. Is that true?
It might be.
It's all about like, winning.
This is a very competitive state. You know, like the highest paid educator in this state is a football coach. Mm-hmm. You know, like we do not play. When it comes to winning, I mean, we play, we compete, but they want to win. I mean, to the point where, like, you're paying football coaches more than you're paying the teachers who have to keep those damn kids in school, you know? And I mean, I'm talking about at every level, high school football coaches making six figures just because they coach football. And it's like, bro, it's high school, but it is a way of life. Like, winning here is a thing that we have to do. And it trickles all the way down to cheerleading. And yeah. competitive cheerleading in Texas, it's wild. I mean, they have the big hair. They got the big bows and they cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas is Texas. We're going to do it big here, and we're going to try to win. And they weren't wrong. Season one of Cheer does a good job of talking about Texas. And I love that it's almost like, if I wasn't from here, I would think it was a caricature of Texas, mm-hmm. but it's not. That is yeah. Texas. That is Navarro. That is Corsicana. That is where, like, I am from. I'm not from Corsicana, but this is my neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And so I get it. I definitely yeah. understand.
How do you explain Mike McCarthy then?
I have no words. Listen, some people just fall short. That was mean.
sorry. Too soon.
Yeah, that was mean.
Too soon,
that was mean.
Sorry about that. Okay. One of the characters. One of the characters that was featured in this episode was Brooke. We really zoomed in on Brooke here in this episode. Was Brooke a part of season one, Chappelle?
Nah, Brooke is a rookie. So they brought in they got the new class of people. The thing is, Navarro is a two-year school. This is a school where you come to get associate degrees. That means you are here today and gone tomorrow. And because of this cheerleading show, Gone Navarro, right? But because of this cheerleading show, they have to like compete against people who want to stay longer than 2 years because they want to continue to be on the championship winning team. They want to like, oh, I was supposed to be here to get an associate degree in education. It's like, oh, okay, cool. Well, you got that. It's like, well, I might stay to get a certification. Why? Well, because I really need to be on this cheerleading team for one more year. And so now you have people who are coming across the country from wherever they're from to be a part of this team and to go to school here. But you got people who might be 20, 21 at this point who are still hanging around because like, okay, I got to get one more win in me. Yeah. They're bringing me back for the
they're
Netflix
doing
victory.
Another like, Netflix season. I'll be there.
Oh, Rob, that is the motivation of half of these people. I'm sure. Because you're talking about Brooke, but Ladarius was supposed to be gone. Jerry was supposed to be gone. Well, I don't think we see Gabby in this episode, but was supposed to be gone. And all of them are back for season two. Oh, Lexi. Lexi literally went to jail yeah. in season one. And Lexi is back, you know, so.
And doing cameos.
And doing cameos. I love Lexi, by the way. But mm-hmm. So.
Is that your favorite?
These people, they're coming back. Is Lexi? No, Gabby's my favorite on the show.
Okay. Because we didn't see Gabby in episode mm-mm. number one. And,
oh, I will give you the Gabby rundown shortly.
Oh, good. Okay, good. We'll get there.
Yeah, but Brooke is competing against all these people who the veterans are there, right? So you have the OG veterans who should have left, but they're coming back for one more go round. Then you got the veterans who didn't make the mat, who are like trying to make the mat. So they are competitive as well because they're looking for their spot. The OGs have left and now it's time for me to take my spot on, you know, in the Iron Throne or whatever. But then you have the rookies who they might be new here, but they're not new to cheer. So they are like, you know, easily like as athletic as many of them, as competitive, as good as tumbling, and they want a spot as well. So they have so many obstacles to get by. And Brooke, it looks like it's going to have an uphill battle this season, similar to Jerry in the first season, where she is a great person at stunts, but she's not as good athletically. Her jumps aren't as high. Her flips aren't as tight. Her toes aren't as pointed, you know, that kind of thing. Her technique isn't as strong as the other people, but I think it's based off of her strength. Like, she's just not as explosive as they are. And so Brooke has to have a, she's going to have a few bumps on the road to making the mat this season because she's up against some hard hitters.
Yeah, we saw a conversation with her and Monica where Monica talked to her about just you're going to have to pick up the athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Like, it's one thing about being able to do a flip. I could do a cartwheel if I wanted to, but I can't do a Look cartwheel like Gabby can do a cartwheel. Yeah, if I wanted to do a cartwheel now, don't get me wrong, I'm not going
to
try it.
You don't want to.
But if I wanted to, I could do it. I know I could. Mm-hmm. It would be an ugly, hideous thing. Very Oompa Loompa-esque. But Gabby, she does a cartwheel and it's amazing and it's fast and it's sharp and its technique is there, you know, all that stuff. That's the difference in athleticism with, you know, like somebody who can do it crisp and powerful every time, like Gabby or like Ladarius, or somebody like Brooke, who like she is good and she can do the things, but it just don't hit the same. And it's all about hitting like hard. Because think about it, Rob, this is gymnastics. These people are doing the same techniques. These stunts are not new stunts, a lot of them. I mean, you know, Gabby Douglas and Simone Biles are out here creating moves. But like these kids, they're doing the same cheerleading moves that other people are doing. But it's all about precision. It's all about explosiveness. It's all about hitting your marks. And Brooke's just not giving what Gabby and these other girls are giving, you know. So mm-hmm. that's her struggle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
but she seems dope.
Yep, she seems like a, you know, a really nice person on the show. We meet her mom, and this was like a really like a gut wrenching of to find out. You know, Brooke comes from like a really tough background. Her dad died when she was 9. Seems like that the family is pretty destitute. They basically like they have a you know a barely functioning car to get her back and forth to the cheer practice, and whatever money they were going to spend to go to the cheer championship in Daytona, they just basically like had to cash out to fix the car.
Yeah. And I think that might be, I won't say that's why a lot of these kids were chosen to be highlighted on the show, but many of them have like the background of like, oh, I am not like, you know, a rich person who comes from money, who had a lot of money to put into cheer, like my family had to sacrifice, or I was raised by someone else, or I, you know, have a troubled background. Like Lexi has a troubled background. Like Lexi be out here fighting in the streets. And again, she's amazing, but mm-hmm. ridiculous as well. But, you know, so when they start to highlight Brooke's background, I'm like, it's more of the same. Like in season one, you talk about like Ladarius was raised by his mom. I think she had went to jail. And so he was raised almost like by another, like a family friend and like as a part of their family in a way. So that stuff is throughout cheer. And it's like, now it's Brooke's time to shine. And you got to talk about, you know, her struggles and her come up. And I think it makes compelling TV, but that might also be why checks notes. Ryan is a background character and not the main character. Maybe he doesn't have the same background, maybe, you know, to highlight.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not saying he does, yeah. But I'm just saying maybe that it wasn't compelling enough TV.
Well, ultimately, in this first episode, Brooke is not going to make the cheer squad. And that could potentially be because that she is auditioning for the spot that Gabby is going to occupy.
Yeah. Remember that time we talked about Dance Moms?
Yeah.
And I was like, Maddie Ziegler is always at the top. Like always at the top of the pyramid, like it's her show and everybody else is just living in it.
Yeah.
This is Gabby's show. She is not the star of the show by any means, but she is like your Michael Jordan. She is a cheerleader and she is working across the country at all times. Like her family is doing like pop-up events where you can come in and do little like classes and like sessions with her. You can do meet and greets. She's doing pictures in magazines. She's everywhere. She is like the poster child, or at least at the time of recording, I don't know if she's fallen from grace at this point.
Okay. Gabby Butler, 1617 on Instagram. How many followers for Gabby Butler on Instagram?
25K.
1.9 million.
Woo! Ah, see, I talked her up, but I didn't give her what she deserved. Yeah. Listen, yeah, she was like the poster child for cheer. Like the girls that grew up. I mean, I think Brooke was like, I grew up watching.
She has a fitness app. She has Moxie athletic wear.
Mm-hmm.
You can get the Gabby Butler athletic wear.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I mean, I'm not going to get it, but I'm not athletic enough and probably not curvy in the right spots. But yeah, I think that, she is the like premier individual on the team. And I think the reason why she's not a bigger character on the show,
yeah,
because she doesn't give you a lot of personality. Her personality is winning.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe like someone like Tom Brady, right? Where, you know, like they're coming in to win.
Bring Tom Brady into this.
I have to say, I'm picking the winners. You know, like Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, you know, the ones who are who've done the things.
The only thing I want to hear about Tom Brady is that he retired. That he's old, but he still is getting it done. You want to talk up Tom Brady? That's the angle.
Oh, okay. Well, he's old and he's still getting it done, Rob, sadly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He's still here. And so is Gabby. Gabby doesn't bring a lot to the table as far as like being a huge character on the show because she is so focused. Like, if you want to build up the dramatic suspense of what the competition is going to be like, zoom in on Gabby's face. Like, she's stone faced. She's putting on her makeup. She's like tying her bow in her hair, but she's all business, you know, and, she is, a person who's, it's going to be so tough to get a spot away from her. She was supposed to be gone at the end of season one. She said, you know what? I'm good. I've lived away from home, basically been working since I was 14 years old as a traveling cheerleader. And I've gone off to Corsicana for 2 years. It's time for me to go back home to my family. She goes home. And next thing you know, Monica is on a plane to New York to go get her and bring her back.
Bring her back. 2.4 million followers on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. And she's good. Gabby is good. She's all business. There's one episode in season one where her mom's name is Debbie. She calls and she's like, Gabby, you need to do this and you need to do that. And have you been eating right? And Gabby's like, yeah, kinda. Mm-hmm. She's like, are you been eating clean? And she goes, mostly. Her mom says, you've been eating eggs. Eggs are dairy. And she's like, oh, are they? And she's like, yeah, listen, you can eat jackfruit one time for 12 hours. And you don't have to eat again all day. Gabby's like, I'm an athlete. I really can't live like that. Her mom's like, okay, bye. Like, I love you. Like, her mom is like high strung and like trying to make sure that Gabby has everything together. But Gabby is on it. She is like, she didn't come here to do school. She came here to cheer. And that's what she does.
Chappelle, tell me about the person that you said is your favorite character on the show, Lexi.
Yeah. Lexi's my fave. Well, no, Gabby technically is my fave, but Lexi is one of my favorites because she is a mess. And not saying in a bad way, but Lexi is good TV. So Lexi comes from a background where she's been fighting like her whole life. Like, I don't know where she grew up at, but it was tough. And, you know, she is one of the people who, like, you can tell, like, seeing her cheer is like her outlet away from her upbringing, you know, like, she often falls into the wrong crowd. She's at college, but, you know, like, school isn't necessarily her thing. I think she ended up getting her GED after dropping out of high school after 2 years. And she tested college level, like, ready, not like GED straight into college, basically, so that she could go be a cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think her story is just so compelling. And seeing her move on the show, she's not perfect. Right. Cheerleaders like to present perfect. They like to be like precise and pristine a lot of ways. But she is very much the cheerleader who is like getting pulled over by the police and then taking the rap for one of her friends, which happened in season one. And so that kind of stuff is compelling TV for me.
Mm-hmm. What did she take the rap for?
They kind of hinted at like an illegal substance being in the car. And what it is I don't think her friend was in the car. I think Lexi got pulled over and like they were like, does this belong to you? And she was like, I ain't no snitch. And then next thing you know, she's in jail. Lexi ain't no snitch. But Lexi also had some controversial things going on in season one where I think there was like somebody from her past was like posting her nude photos from when she was like 16 years old on Twitter. And so Lexi, of course, was like, you know, like offended. She didn't know how to approach it because she wanted to.
This was in the show, or this was following like the fame of the show?
No, this was in the show. Yeah. This was in the show. Well, so she like sees this troll on Twitter, like trying to like blackmail her and all this other stuff. And so she goes to the cops. But at first she doesn't want to, because she's like, it's so embarrassing. I don't want people to know I was sending these kind of pictures to my boyfriend or to whomever back then. And this, that, and the other. And she was scared that Monica was going to kick her off the team. And like, it was a whole thing. And I was like, dang, I'm really rooting for her to get this together. Like, I hope she, you know, does the right thing and figures out a way to get out of this, because this is not her fault. And it's just a mess. And she goes to Monica, and Monica's completely understanding. And they like, you know, try to get the picture taken out. It's a whole thing.
Yeah.
But my favorite part about Lexi's response is that while she was looking at it, she was like, can't wait to get my revenge on this. Like, she was ready to tear that woman down. Whoever it was posting pictures, Lexi wasn't like, oh my God, I'm so offended, I can't believe this. She was like, I'm a find her, I'm a beat her ass.
Yeah.
And I was like, I appreciate that energy.
Did she get revenge?
Lexi. I hope not, because Lexi needs to stay out of prison.
Okay.
She's always like, Lexi, I think, is the one who, if you want to talk about who is probably most prone to getting sucked up by the trappings of fame, she's probably like the most likely to kind of get caught up with the wrong crowd or to end up in a situation that she doesn't need to be in, just because she doesn't make the best decisions all the time. But if you're looking for somebody to root for, I'd root for Lexi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. She might let you down, but it's a fun ride on the way there.
It's a fun ride.
Yeah.
Okay. We met some of the new people, the up and comers, Maddie, Cassidy, Peyton, Jillian.
And right now they're just names, but in the future, we're probably going to get storylines from each of them. I think Maddie is a flyer, so she's tiny and they just throw up in the air. Cassidy and Peyton are both tumblers, and then Jillian is a flyer as well. Mm-hmm. And those are the people who Brooke is competing against for spots. And from what we can understand, she ain't getting Mandy's spot at all. Like, Maddie's spot. Like, it's not, that's her spot. She's not going to lose it.
Yeah.
Maddie kind of gives you like baby, little version of Gabby, you know, like Gabby is so stone faced and like, kind of like, I'm here to win. Maddie brings that same energy, but she's not as like stone faced. She wants the attention. She's like, I want you to see me. I want, you know, she say, I got tired of asking people to look at me, do flips and stuff. So I just do them well enough to where everybody wants to look at me. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the energy you want from a cheerleader. And she has it. And so, yeah, I think Brooke's in a tight spot if she thinks she's going to get one of these spots from her.
Chappelle, we saw that Ellen gave the cast of Cheer $20,000. A little cheap. No.
Yeah.
You can do better. You can do better, Ellen. You can do better for Ellen.
Yeah,
that's like, you know, the $30 a kid.
You want to talk about a fall from grace.
Yeah.
We can talk about Ellen DeGeneres. $20,000 is not a lot. It was more like, it's kind of performative, but it does help. You know, it does help, because Monica's goal this season is to buy a stage so that her kids can practice on it, because practicing on the mat and the gym floor is different than practicing on the stage. And you need to practice on the stage so you can be prepared for the competition that is on the stage. Because Rob, what you didn't see in season one is that Monica prepares for everything. Like, when she wants to win, she loses sleep at night, and she will like show up the next day for practice and be like, okay, I know we practice it all this way all week, but I want to like practice it as if you fell off the pyramid. They're like, what? They're like, yeah, if you fell off and we had to catch you in a cradle, then we need to know how many counts it would take for you to get out of that, so it looks like you fell with style and that like nobody notices that it was a mistake. And she does that until she feels good about it. And it actually pays off in season one. So this is just another, I guess, one of those steps in the right direction for Monica to feel good about her team doing well. She needs to get that stage.
Yeah, that the stage gets quoted at $100,000 for a stage for Monica to have for the cheer team. Chappelle, I think they're getting ripped off.
I don't know. So in my head, you're getting ripped off. But in Monica's head, this is not a regular stage. Like, she there are cheaper stages available, but Monica wants the best for her girls. You know, like, she cannot do a lackluster stage. She probably wants a exact replica of the one that they're using in Daytona. Like, it's not like she just is practicing on any old stage, Rob. For me, I would never spend that type of money on
100K anything. Is a lot of money for like, I mean, for a stay. What is it? It's like a big, it's a platform.
Yeah. Well, Rob, look at it this way. It's not that much money. Like, if Ellen just gave you $20,000.
Yeah.
But Ellen gave you $20,000 for existing. So I feel like you can fundraise the other 80. Like,
yeah.
If you got that from one person, I'm sure Oprah would throw you $20,000 too. I mean, he was, Jared was talking to Barack, Joe Biden. So I'm sure Joe Byron would make a point for getting them some money if they could. I'm just saying the donors are out there. They just got to ask.
Yeah. So yeah, I was going to ask, does Monica have a budget? Like where's the other 80K coming from?
And with all the appearances Netflix? And the Netflix stuff, and the commercials and stuff that they're doing, oh yeah, you got to believe that she can afford 100K. She probably wasn't expecting to pay 100K, but she got it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And if not, she's gonna put them girls to work before they get it. Rob, I have to tell you the story about the stage. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So last season, Monica was doing her whole "What if this happens? What if this happens? What if this happens?" to figure out like, okay. All the contingencies so we don't lose any points during our competition. So there's this one guy where she's like, okay, you've been doing really well, but I want to try and swap somebody else in on your routine just in case, right? Just in case, I think he's got an injury or something. So in case your back starts acting up again, we're going to swap this guy in. But he's not as good as you as tumbling. So like, we're going to have to make the routine slightly different with our alternate. Well, the day of the routine, everybody's kind of like tense, and like I said, they're using like their iPhone cameras and recording everything because Netflix can't be in the building. And Jerry is the one screwing up on this stunt. And so I told you, all eyes were on Jerry, and does he get the stunt right? Well, he gets the stunt right. We're all cheering, yes, yes, they did it. And then the guy who does the tumbling, he breaks his ankle, basically. Like, yeah. He's a little, tweaked it or something, doing like his tumbling pass.
They showed and this, right?
Yeah, and Monica says it's because of the stage. Now, what they end up doing is they switch into alternate, and the way the judging works is that they allow you to compete again, but they will start judging you based on where you stopped in the competition, so where the injury started. So everything prior to that, including Jerry's stunt that went well, was a perfect 10, you know? And so they're like, okay, now we're going to pick up here. You do the whole routine again, but we're not going to look at anything prior to when this guy got hurt. And so they go in, they rehearse, they do that, and then they end up winning the competition. And so now the stage aftermath is one thing that Monica has to deal with. But Trinity Valley is, on the other hand, is looking like, well, they got two chances to do their competition because the guy got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair. We only got one chance. Had we had a second chance, we might have done it flawlessly, too. And so that the remnants of season one are deep into the first episode of this season.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a rematch.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and Monica knows it, and I think she wants to have that stage thing figured out, because not only did that one guy get hurt, but a couple of her other cheerleaders kind of messed up their tumbling too in the moment. Like, she has some like amazing tumblers, and for them to be stumbling, Monica's like, well, it can't be them. We've practiced enough to where I know it's not them. It's gotta be the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Chappelle, I was surprised that we ended the first episode on Trinity Valley Community College of basically questioning whether or not that we were going to see Navarro, if they were here for the right reasons.
Yeah. I mean, that if I'm Vontae, I want to do that. That's exactly what I want to do. I want to say, listen, all of y'all who want to be famous and want your little followers and stuff like that in here to be on TV, go over there, go to Navarro, be a backup dancer, you know, like hold the camera phone for Ladarius while he does his flips, like do that, go do that. Here we have real athletes who care about winning, and that's what we're here to do. We're not about TV, we're not about Netflix. We want to show here at Trinity Valley that we come to win, and that's it.
It's about the name in front of the jersey at Trinity Valley Community College, not the name on the back.
Exactly. And yeah, if it wasn't for this show, many people wouldn't know the names on either side. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so it's definitely one of those things where Vontae is outlining that, yeah, that might be the showy, sexy option, but we're the option that is going to win this overall. And so I appreciated that angle, especially because he has like a team that is hungry. You know, he starts talking about, I guess, his new up and comer, I think Jada.
Jada.
And And Jada is here to win. Jada is not taking any nonsense. She's not listening to any back talk. She's going to put the team on her back, and they're going to win this championship, and they are coming for the crown.
Yeah. Chappelle, if I announce that I'm a Trinity Valley fan, will I get dragged and people be mad at me?
No, I think there's probably like a subgroup that is like, yeah, like we're all rooting for their
downfall. I'm gonna get a jersey.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I definitely think that maybe finish season two, because if this villain edit takes a bad turn and they start like stealing routines what is it the old sitcoms used to do, like they come in and steal the mascot of the schools, mm-hmm. like the thing to like give them bad luck, you know, like they start being nefarious. Yeah, you don't want to root for them. But I think Vontae and his group is a very rootable group, because like I said, they're still kids. They're still, you know, college students or whatever. They probably all have their own individual stories. But Vontae does, too. I mean, he's from Florida, not the nicest area of Florida as far as like being like money wise. And he kind of put himself through school on a cheerleading scholarship. Like if it wasn't for cheerleading, he probably wouldn't have gone to college in the first place. And now here he is coaching this team. And so if you want somebody to root for, probably not a bad place to look for or to root for. But as we know with stories, you know, often the villains have to be villains in some way. And right now they're the villains, but they haven't really done anything. So I'm interested to see if they end up doing a real heel turn before the end of the season.
Okay. Can I give you the plot for season three of Cheer?
Let's do it.
Okay. So, all right. This is now, I don't know how the season two is going to end, but okay. So now, but based off of the success of Cheer, now here comes some big SEC school with loaded pockets and boosters. They're going to come and make a Godfather offer to Monica to build up the Cheer program at Alabama.
Oh, my God. No, not Alabama. Yeah, you really did find a villain for this story. yeah, I think that is.
Monica, we want $15 million a year to build up our Cheer program.
Right. With a state-of-the-art facility, where they just brought in a $200,000 stage. Like, Gabby's going to be there because she has just got hired as her assistant coach or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, we'll bring your all the all-stars. We also have a hit HBO show that we're going to be filming soon. A movie just about you, Monica. Like, oh, I see it too, Rob. It's right there. Oh, my God. Yeah. It'd be so good. What's up?
I was going to say that, I mean, is Cheer the story of Monica, or is Cheer the story of Navarro Community College? Because that, like, would they stay? And like, basically, like, who has the rights to the show? Is it like what the producers want to do?
I think it's what the producers want to do, but I do think Monica is the story. I think if Monica leaves, there is no show. I think that they just let it go. I don't think you can bring anybody else in.
Could you do Friday Night Lights without Coach Dillon? Or Dylan Panthers, exactly. No, Coach, the guy that Kyle Chandler that Akiva is going to beat up, Coach Taylor.
yeah. I don't think you can. And so I think with Monica, when she goes, I think this is it. You know, I used to work at the Baylor University, and
love you, Ben.
Yes, that one. But when Coach Kim left, I was like, dang, am I going to care about Baylor girls basketball anymore? Because Mulkey was everything to us at Baylor. You know, like I used to run into her at the grocery store sometimes and be like, Coach, what's up? You know, and that was like super cool. But when she left, it hurt. It did hurt. Now, I think Baylor's athletics is going to miss Kim, but I think they're going to push through and be, you know, formidable with whomever they have. But the personality of the team was on the shoulders of Kim, you know, Kim Mulkey. And so her leaving, it definitely like it hurt. It did hurt. And if the TV show was there and the cameras were there, they would have followed her right out the door. And so I think that if they lose Monica and she goes off to some big wig school, or she becomes some huge juggernaut of maybe like an all-star team or something like that. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. That's the end of Navarro College's television stand, or at least their Netflix contract.
That's it. They're not going to run the program with, who is it? Andy?
Andy and Capenna.
Good luck.
It's over.
Good luck.
Yeah. But you know what? They would probably try to go with her.
Yeah.
I think it would be a good episode of television. Like Monica announcing that she's got this big contract and she's got to go. And everybody in the town is crying about how Cheer changed their life and how much life she brought into the school. And then she gets on the plane or about to get on the plane, but she's looking back over her shoulder and her husband's like, "What's wrong, babe?" She's like, I can't do it.
She got off the plane.
Right. She gets off the plane. Shows up at Daytona and coaches the team across to their last thing. And she's like, "You better nail this stunt, Brooke. We've been working on this all season." Brooke's like, I can't. Like, Rob, greenlight it. It's going to happen.
Greenlight it.
Yeah, we got it.
Chappelle.
The movie. Cheer the movie.
Is there anything else? Oh, well, Cheer the movie would be huge.
On again.
It's been brought in. Okay, Chappelle, is there anything else that you want to say about Cheer season two?
No, I'm actually, I saw season one. In the real time, I remember watching a few episodes and being like, I'll come back to it. So I came back to it for this assignment and I was like, this is good. And then when season two started, I was like, oh, this villain edit thing is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. You know, this underdog story that they're building with Trinity Valley is pretty cool. I might watch it. But through talking it out with you, yeah, I am going to finish season two. I'm excited to watch it. Yeah. And I want to see exactly what's going to happen because just a compelling like road to a championship and you've won a bunch of championships isn't that good of a story. But now that you've like made us invested in the characters, whether it's, you know, the messy, like not so fun stuff drama with Jerry, or it's like, you know, the less messy stuff with Lexi, that's still messy, but less messy, less messy. Yeah. yeah.
It's almost
but you
lunchtime.
Know, all the drama there. Yeah, it's definitely time. It's lunchtime right now. Tex-Mexy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think with all the drama and all the characters and the new underdog story that we have across the way at Trinity Valley, I think this would make a good season of TV. And I'm pretty sure people are enjoying themselves. So I'm excited. And if you haven't watched Cheer, check it out. It's a good time.
9 episodes in season two. So they got the bump up from just the 6 episodes from season one.
I don't know, Rob. That 6 episodes from season one was so nice.
Yeah.
It was so nice.
So nice.
Yeah.
I guess it probably was a big surprise that the show became such a big hit.
Yeah. And I think Netflix wanted it to be one though, right? Like when Netflix did this one, I think they put the money behind it to keep it kind of in the like, what's new, what's trending, you know, top five. You know, we've seen things pop up in the top 10 of Netflix that have no business in the top 10. Like I think The Longest Yard was in the top 10 last week. You know. Nobody was clamoring for The Longest Yard. Stop it. But I think if Netflix wants it to be a talking point, it will be. And this was. And I don't know if it has the same electricity behind it as season one, but I do think that if they want there to be more of the show, there will be. And it'll be something that people talk about for a long time.
Okay. All right, Chappelle. Lots of fun talking about Cheer. Before we talk about what we're going to do next week on Nothing But Netflix, you want to talk about anything else you're working on?
Yeah, so kind of in the same vein of Cheer, the CW, which, yes, it's still a thing. I didn't know it, but it is a thing. They are having a docuseries about the Prairie View A&M Marching Storm Marching Band, very similar to this show Cheer. So I guess it's going to follow that marching band at that college's like trajectory throughout their last football season as they compete to go from being the 8th best band in the country to number 1. At least that's the premise that I saw in the 40-second promo. But Rob, I went to that school.
Yes.
So I feel connected to that school. And so I want to talk about the first episode of that. Sadly, it's not on Netflix. So I do have to download the CW app. I think that's how you watch CW now. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to watch it. And I'm going to talk about it. And I think that's going to release this week. So I think the show airs on Monday on the CW. They're going to talk about, you know, the band, the school, all that stuff. Very similar to to Cheer. But I'll be there to give my insight. And I think I even got a nice guest to come on and talk to me about it as well. Somebody who's actually on the show. And so we're going to talk about that and kind of, I guess, release that as like a special one-off, if you will allow me to. But yeah, that is my big project coming up. It's not that big. It's just an episode of TV, but I'm excited. It's close to me happening. And I want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a good time.
Look for that early next week coming up. So if you like Cheer, check out March. On the CW. I mean, is March like did they go into the office like you know how Cheer is hot on Netflix, this is gonna be this is like Cheer but for bands.
Probably. And then they were like, okay, well, this is a CW thing. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine going in there like, you see how big cheer is? We could do that for the band. Do call it March. And they're like, yeah, call it CW. And I'm like, all right, never mind. Back to the drawing board. But it's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay because I'm going to talk about it. And then I might even talk about my experiences as somebody who went to the school who was in that very same marching band who did a lot of amazing things as a part of that band. I've talked about before how I was in the Super Bowl. I also was in the Rose Bowl parade.
Whoa.
I've done a lot of stuff in back in my old days with that marching band. And so I'm very excited to highlight something that's near and, well, was near and dear to me. And now it's something that I support from afar as an alumni.
Okay. Chappelle, let's talk about what we're doing next week here on Nothing But Netflix. Is there anything from the current top 10 that catches your eye?
Well, what you got in the current top 10? I'm not looking at it right now. Right,
I got the top 10 open right now. Ozark is back. Of course, you got to check out Post Show Recaps for some Ozark coverage. Archive 81. I don't really know what's going on there.
Yeah. And like I said, AJ Mass and Mari said they like it, but I don't know if it's our speed. We might need to look in other directions. Maybe we might double back to it. It might be in the top 10 for a while.
Too Hot to Handle is in the top 10. Of course, Kirsten McInnes has extended coverage of season 3 in the Hot Dummies podcast feed. I'm supposed to go back and hit episode 7, season 3, episode 7 with Akiva this week. The royal treatment. Do we know anything about that?
No clue.
I'm
just giving like rom-com feel good story.
Right, that's the probably top like, five.
Like a girl who becomes a princess one day. I don't know.
So here's a couple of interesting options from coming next week. Okay.
Okay.
The woman in the house across the street from the girl in the window.
Rob,
what is this?
Yeah. So it. I don't say a parody, but it's definitely like taking from other movies that are similar to that, right? Where it's like a thriller where like someone is stuck in a house and they see something that they shouldn't have seen. And now they're getting like tracked by an unknown person and we don't know why. And then at the end of the movie, it turns out that the person has done something to them in a past life or they know somebody who like was offended by them. And now they've made it their life goal to get them. I don't know. Like the movie has been done. However, the title. The title makes it enough for me to want to talk about it.
Okay.
You know, I think they did.
I'm open.
Yeah, they did what they needed to do with the title.
All right. Number two. Okay. We've talked about a lot of NFL coaches on this podcast. All right. Home Team starring Kevin James as New Orleans Saints coach Sean Payton.
All right. So the Super Bowl is upon us, Rob. It's coming.
Yes.
Do you want to save something like this for a Super Bowl week? Should this be our Super Bowl episode of Nothing But Netflix?
I kind of feel like that there's a lot of good stuff coming up. Like, I kind of feel like that I would do this on a week where we don't have as much to talk about. And I think that there could be maybe more interesting stuff coming up in a couple of weeks.
All right, so we will table.
Football is in the air. The NFL playoffs going on. The Saints are, of course, not in the playoffs. But it's about what did Sean Payton do the year that he was suspended?
Yes, this is
He goes to coach. He goes to coach like a junior high school football team.
Yeah, like a little league team. Because of Bounty Gate, right? So he takes Bounty Gate from the pros to the children and makes the children put bounties out on other kids' heads.
I don't think I think it was Greg Williams more than Sean Payton, but
I'm just saying allegedly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mean,
it would be fun to talk about one day. It doesn't have to be this week. It'd be fun to talk about.
And then I don't know if I see anything else that's like super exciting. Do you want to leave it open-ended and let the audience help us make the call here?
Well, let me see. Let's say coming next week, we got New York Prison Break, Through My Window, New Year's Eve, Meat Eater, whatever that is. Yeah, I think there's a ton of things here that we could probably touch on. But yeah, let's ask the audience what they want to hear us talk about, because there's a few things coming. But we don't have to pick right now. We got a little time. We've given the audience a lot to digest in the last few weeks. I mean, we did Singles Inferno, Backdoor with Too Hot to Handle, and then this almost in the span of like 1 week.
A lot.
So yeah. A lot. Yeah, yeah. It's a lot. And so give them time to listen to this, to get caught up, and then determine what they want to hear next. So if you have any suggestions, listeners, please, you know, feel free to tweet us at the Nothing But RHAP account and let us know what it is that you yes. want to hear us talk about.
And please include Chappelle and include me. We want to be in the conversation.
Yes. Tell us what's good. I'll send the eyeball emojis. That's my favorite one. And then that'll let you know I'm thinking about it. But
I don't think I have a favorite emoji.
No, the eyeballs is my favorite one. That one and the moon emoji, the moon with like the smug face. Oh my gosh.
Moon with the so smug creepy. Face.
Yeah, it's kind of like
got a favorite emoji.
You got to get a favorite emoji. You know, Puya's a hug guy. He's a hug emoji guy. The creepy one.
Yeah.
Defund Puya.
Hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's wrong with him? Mm-hmm. Monster.
Yeah. So, all right. We will figure that all out. We love to hear your feedback, especially when it's like nice or constructive. Those are the best kinds.
Yeah. I like nice better than constructive. Don't construct me. Just nice. Nice me down.
Yeah. Okay. Chappelle, what else is coming up this week? We talked about March. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good. You know, working, doing a lot of working and trying to stay warm, Rob. Winter came out of nowhere and I don't know why. And I wanted to go away.
Mm-hmm.
This is not it for me. Do you have any good interviews coming up, Rob?
We are going to be dropping my interview with Shan from Survivor this weekend, so be on the lookout for that. Had a really great talk with Shan. And then also we have everything going on with The Amazing Race, Joe Millionaire. We talked about Too Hot to Handle the other day. Plus, we launched a brand new show, which is called The Weekly Rehap Up. You could hear a little bit of Chappelle and Kirsten McInnes and myself talking about Too Hot to Handle from the other day, but this was a way for people to be able to check out what's been going on across so many of the RJP podcasts, an idea that was put into my brain by a man who's on this podcast.
Yes, I'm having the best week ever, Rob. We get to talk about, like, I get to talk about marching band soon, which is going to be a wild experience for me, but I also get to see the fruits of my labor in this one idea that I put in your head one time. Mm-hmm. And so look at me. Look at my impact.
We did it. We did it.
Yeah, I guess. But hopefully people like it. Hopefully people will listen to the podcast and determine like, hey, I didn't know they were that funny or that compelling on this other podcast I don't listen to. Let me check it out. And, you know, or maybe the clips will circulate online and people who have never heard of RHAP will come check us out and our coverage and all the hard work the podcasters are doing. So I'm thinking, Rob, this is going to be two thumbs up and people are going to love it.
I hope so. Okay. Two thumbs up, one smug moon. Yeah, and two eyeballs. All right.
And thank you so much
for listening. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.